This message is part of the educational ministry of Columbia International University. We've been preparing world Christians to know Him and to make Him known since 1923.
My name's Brad. I'm glad for the chance to be with you guys. Is Rick shared? Well, let me ask, how many of you are undergrads? If you're an undergrad, all right? Seminarians, master's students. Look at that, already sitting in the very back. That's good. Practice for the church. This Super Bowl of Caring that Rick mentioned is something that I worked with, was a ministry that God gave some of us the privilege of working with over the years, and it looks like not many of you are familiar with it, so I'm glad to have the chance to be with you today, to introduce some of you to it. But I want to tell you, the story is, it was a line of a prayer. It was Super Bowl Sunday. I was a rookie pastor. In fact, I was an intern. I don't know how many of you seminarians are doing intern years in churches or some of the undergrads. I was an intern and was at the church, and they asked me to do the prayer, the pastoral prayer, on Sunday morning of the Super Bowl football game. Well, everybody's thinking about the game. You might as well be honest about that. And so one line of that prayer that God put on my heart was, Lord, even as we enjoy the Super Bowl football game, help us be mindful of those who are without a bowl of soup to eat. That our Lord calls us not to live for ourselves, but to live for Him, and to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. And that seemed like a simple way of doing it, that contrast. So that's kind of the story of how Super Bowl of Caring began. But I want to tell you all the rest of the story of how it began. How many of you are seniors in undergrad? Any seniors? Okay. I was a senior at that great shaper of future seminarians, the University of Georgia, where I went to undergrad. That was a joke. It really isn't that great. Anyway, I was a senior at the University of Georgia, and I had talked to those who had gone on before me, those who had graduated, and they stepped into this abyss where they just disappeared. And they would be gone, and we would hear rumors of them having to be awake in hours that began with 6 and maybe 7, have to be at work by hours that began by 8 and stay there until in the 5s and even sometimes the 6s. And that did not sound like a very attractive, that was scary as I was a senior at the University of Georgia and thought, Lord, what am I to do? And I was at church that Sunday, and I looked up at the preacher, and it just hit me. Preachers. Sunday. 9 o'clock till 12 o'clock, right? One day a week. And in that moment, I felt called by God to ministry. Well, the story gets better. I went to seminary. And this is for some of you. And while I was at seminary, I learned there are not only pastors who preach every Sunday, but I learned there are associate pastors who basically preach about one Sunday a month, which means instead of having to work every Sunday from 9 until 12, you work one Sunday a month from 9 until 12. And so in that moment, I felt called by God to be an associate pastor. And I did that for about 11 or 12 years. I was an associate pastor out on the northeast side of Columbia, Spring Valley Presbyterian Church, and I had done it, and I got to tell you, it got to be tiring. It got to be exhausting, that work in one day of a month. And I thought, Lord, what am I to do? And then it hit me. Super Bowl Sunday. Get churches to have young people give $1 to feed the hungry. And along the way, Brad, you only have to work one day a year. See? It works out. So y'all, there's hope. Hang in there. All right, it's a funner story. Let me pray, and then we're going to look at some scripture. Lord God, your word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our paths. Lord, you are our King and our friend, our Savior and our Lord. Thank you. We pray in Christ's name, amen. I'm going to read a couple of different passages and then hopefully have some fun with them. This is Matthew 25. I'm beginning at verse 31. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit down on his throne in heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he'll separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?" The king will reply, "I tell you the truth, whatever you do for one of the least of these, my brothers, you do for me." And then I'm going to pull from Matthew 13, verse 31 also, familiar parable. Jesus then told them another parable. "The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all your seeds, when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and perch in its branches." And from the Gospel of John, finally, the sixth chapter, Jesus and the feeding of the 5,000. I'm going to start with verse 5. "When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming toward him, he said to Philip, 'Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?' Jesus asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Philip answered him, 8 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each one to have even a bite.' Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up, 'Here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish, but how far will they go among so many?' Jesus said, 'Have the people sit down.' There was plenty of grass in that place, and the men sat down, about 5,000 of them. Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with fish. When they had all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, 'Gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted.' So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten." Thanks be to God for God's word. Has that John passage ever bothered any of you? It bugs me. It bugs me. And it didn't bother me for a long time, but then it started bugging me, I don't know, it was 6 or 8, maybe 10 years ago. Because here the disciples are thinking logically, they're thinking soundly. Jesus has been teaching, this crowd keeps coming and coming, it gets bigger and bigger, and it's supper time, and man, they're gonna leave unless you feed them. I'm Presbyterian, they're probably Presbyterians. Unless you feed them, they leave. So what do we do, Lord? We 8 months' wages, good gracious. Jesus already had in mind what he was gonna do. And then there's this young lad, this kid. The young person had experienced Jesus' teaching, had seen Jesus, saw in him something that was different, that was profound, that was powerful, that was life-changing. And so what does this young lad do? 5 loaves, 2 fish. What does this young lad do? Everything. Everything he has. he gave. If I had been there, what would I have done? I would have gotten my family, my wife, our three children. We would have gone and found a tree, get some shade. We would have had a little picnic. Maybe we would have invited Jesus. It's always good to invite the speaker. That kid, that young lad, saw something in Jesus the Messiah. He didn't give a loaf. He didn't give two loaves. He gave everything he had. If I had been there, I don't think I would have done it. I think I would have been like the disciples. Gosh, we got a problem, Lord. What do we do? 8 months' wages wouldn't be enough. That young person saw something, experienced something, gave everything. It bugs me. When I get comfortable and I think I'm being faithful, I come to passages like this and stories like this that work on me, where God's still working on me. Okay. It was Super Bowl Sunday. It was the line of that prayer. And for some reason, the line of that prayer stuck with some of us. And one day it clicked. You know how many people watch the Super Bowl on football game? Super Bowl football game on TV? 100 million Americans watch the Super Bowl football game on TV. Well, we got to thinking. Shared the idea with the young people of our church, Spring Valley Presbyterian Church, and said, here's this idea, guys. Everybody goes to church Super Bowl Sunday. What would happen if we would ask people to give $1 as they left church Super Bowl Sunday? Even college students have a buck, right? We had, no, don't even have a buck. Well, save up. Make an announcement as people are leaving church, stand there with big soup pots, steal them from the church kitchen, from the women of the church, stand there. As people come out, everybody puts a dollar in the pot. Then every dollar collected goes 100% to a soup kitchen or a food bank, a helping ministry. Why? Because if God can touch our lives and transform our lives, then we can reach out and touch the lives of others. And do unto the least of these our brothers and sisters as if they were Jesus himself. So anyway, some young people came by Spring Valley Presbyterian after school, said, if you're interested in helping with this, come by. Half a dozen of the young people did. The first one said, I've got a friend that goes to Northeast Presbyterian Church. That's where your chancellor goes, so I'm going to get that in here. I'll contact them. I've got a friend that goes to the Methodist Church. I'll contact them. I've got a friend that goes to the Baptist Church. I'll contact them. 22 churches did it because the young people at this at Spring Valley Pres reached out and got others. $5,700 was raised. It was fun. The next year, 150 churches did it because the young people spread the word some more. The next year, 300 churches did it because the young people spread the word some more. The next year, 800 churches did it. You get the idea. Everybody gave a buck when they left their respective churches. The young people of each church collected the money, and the young people of each church sent every dollar they collected directly to a soup kitchen or a food bank or a helping ministry they chose in their community. We didn't touch it. We didn't need to touch it. 100 million Americans watched the Super Bowl on TV. What would happen if 100 million of us would give $1 to care for people that are hungry and hurting? You've raised $100 million. What would happen if that effort was led by young people? You know, young people, you're not old enough to drive. This is high school students that lead it mostly. You can't do that. You can't stay out that late. You can't do this. You can't do that. You can't do that. How many of you work with youth groups? Anybody? Cool. Bless you for that. You can't do this. You can't stay out that late. You can't drive the car. You can't do this. Well, you know what? God can use you. Young people across the country have led this thing. What happens if 100 million Americans give a buck and it goes 100% to soup kitchens and food banks, from churches across America to soup kitchens and food banks across America? And it's young people who help lead it. And oh, wouldn't it be fun if central to this were young people who are followers of Jesus Christ? Not because we have to, but because in response to God's grace in Jesus Christ, we want to. It started with one youth group right here in Columbia, South Carolina. It was 22 churches the first year. This past year, it was 14,000 churches, all 50 states. $10 million in cash and food was given away. I don't know if it'll ever happen, but one day what would happen if during that game, if enough of us who are followers of the living God, who believe we're created not just to live for ourselves, but we're created to serve God, to glorify God and enjoy Him forever, if those of us who believe we're called to love the Lord our God and to love our neighbors were to come together. Don't tell anybody this, but there are the churches that do this Super Bowl of Caring, some of them don't even like each other. We've got Pentecostal churches and Baptist churches. We've got Catholic churches and Lutheran churches, Episcopal churches, Presbyterian churches, independent, non-denominational that have broken off from the independent, non-denominational. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. What would happen if the body of Christ were to bear witness even around the biggest, most secular, consumer-driven day in America, Super Bowl Sunday? $3 million for a 30-second commercial. But if young people like you all, churches like yours, youth like the youth you work with, were to say, we don't have to, but we want to be part of a movement of God's grace. God gives the idea, it's a ripple effect of God's grace. Here's the pebble into the pond. That's the gift of God giving the idea of God's grace. In response, we felt like, you know what, we want to give free resources to any church in the country that'll join with us in doing that. So that's happened. And because of those free resources, the adults in churches around the country hear about it. They hear about it and say, we need to get our young people involved. That's the next ripple. The young people say, this is a neat way. This is a way we can see that God can use us to make a difference. That's the next ripple. The young people collect it. They get everybody in the church to give a buck, so they all get to make a difference. And then they give the next ripple. All that money goes to soup kitchens and food banks. The last ripple, Jesus is fed. Whatever you do unto the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you do unto me. Jesus is fed. And in all of that, God is glorified. I know it's not much. It's probably not worth a chapel service at CIU. It's just the stinking little mustard seed. When it began over there, we didn't have any. We did get some emails. We got an email from this group. Everybody reports online now, superbowl.org. But you got to spell it S-O-U as in a bowl of soup, superbowl.org. We get these emails, and this one, these folks in Virginia, our young people went and served at a women's shelter. What's a women's shelter? Well, it's a shelter for women with children. They have no home, and they're dependent on others. It's in the Old Testament. It's in the New Testament. We're to care for widows and orphans. We're to care for those who are vulnerable. So this young people went and served at this women's shelter. And at the women's shelter, they said they got a tour of the women's shelter. And then the young people from the church were waiters and waitresses. And they served the women and the children who were there at the women's shelter. And it said, our young people learned from it. The women at the shelter benefited from it. And the whole community is better because of it. Because of what? A stinking little mustard seed. Super Bowl of Caring grew, and I had the privilege of working with it. We used to have a big phone bank. Everybody would call in And one Sunday, I was there at the phone bank, and the phone rang. They called me over to this telephone, and I talked with this fellow. He was so excited. His church, 63 people, had raised $4,600. Now, preachers aren't very good at math, but 63 people each give a dollar. That's not $4,600. I said, what'd y'all do? He was so excited. He said, oh my gosh, we shared this with our youth. I coordinated for the church, shared it with our youth, and they were so excited about it. We said, let's get the other churches in town. Saudi Daisy, Tennessee. Anybody ever heard of Saudi Daisy, Tennessee? Oh my gosh, all right, several of you. So we went and got all the churches in town to do it, and they said they would do it. Then we went to Walmart and said, Walmart, can we stand out front with big soup pots, and on Super Bowl Sunday or that Saturday when people come in, they can put a dollar in the pot. Will you let us do that? Walmart said, yes. And then this fellow tells me, then we said to Walmart, Walmart, will you match what we raise? I was about to say what you were thinking. Young fella, that's a great idea, but you know, don't overstep, don't ever ask. Before I had the chance to share my wisdom, he said, Walmart said yes, they'd match it. So we raised $2,300, Walmart matched it, it was $4,600. He called back a couple days later. This guy was so excited, he was 20 years old, he had organized it for his church. He was pumped. He called back a third time. We got a 1-800 number, which means we pay the tab. I'm starting to think, all right, young fella, you know, this is expensive. We'll give you free resources. We want to be graceful, but, you know. He says, Brad, I want to tell you something. I'm 20 years old. 2 years ago, I was playing softball on the church softball team. There was a ball hit, fly ball into the outfield. I went for it. So did another guy. We collided. And I've not been able to use my arms or my legs since. And he said, there have been times when I have wondered, Lord, why am I still around? But organizing this Super Bowl of Caring has taught me that God can still use me. I absolutely believe that when Jesus says, whatever you do unto the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you do unto me. For those of us who are believers, for those of us who are so blessed, Lord, how is it we respond? Whatever we do done to the least of these, we do unto him. I think that's true. And that young person in John 6 gave everything he had. And that fellow who called on the phone that day was given everything he had. And that Super Bowl of Caring, it's a stinking little mustard seed. It'll probably never go anywhere. I felt a calling to shape and to encourage and build up young people. I knew I was supposed to do that. I knew we were supposed to feed the hungry. And I knew we were supposed to bear alternative witness on Super Bowl Sunday. But God, only God, could use that to change the heart of maybe not just one young man, but of lots of others. Mustard seeds. May you see them. And may you sow them. Young people willing to give far more than we fuddy-duddy adults. May you see in them the visions and the hopes and the dreams that God puts on their heart, and you foster them and you encourage them to be who God has for them to be. And in the least of these, may you ever and always see Jesus, who is the Christ. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.
We hope you were blessed by this message. Additional audio messages and learning resources are available at www.ciu.edu/bookstore or call 803-807-5263. Messages are also available by podcast at iTunes. CIU is a regionally accredited biblical university offering undergraduate and graduate degree programs. Our purpose is to educate people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ. Thank you for letting us minister to you today.